Okay, so as you see, the topic for this year is something that all of us struggle with in different ways, finding the right time, finding any time to learn versus the responsibilities at home and children and spouses and work and communal responsibilities, part of the shul. So how does halacha at least view this? And a little bit of hashkafa at the end when you see the clash between raising children and family responsibility versus the chiyuv limud haTorah. So let's just first talk a little bit about Pirvu. We haven't discussed much about it yet. This is Man. We'll eventually get there a little bit more as we go through the year. But let's just speak about what the Shulchan Aruch stresses in the very first halacha of all of Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, the importance of Pirvu and creating a family and building a family. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in number one here that Chayv Kol Adam Lisa Isha K'dei L'Farus L'Rabos. There's a requirement that every man marry to have children. V'chol mi she'eino osek b'pira rivya, those who do not engage in having children, ki'ilu shofech damim. It's considered as if he's killed someone. He hasn't brought life into this world. It's ki'ilu shvichas damim. U'mimayit es hadmus, and he somehow diminishes the demus, the tzelma elkim, the image of God. Because you know man is created with tzelma elkim. So the less children there are, that means there's less demus, less tzelma elkim in this world. The garim l'shchina shetistalik miyisrael, and it causes the shchina to remove itself from Am Yisrael. So this is the very first halacha in all of Shulchan Aruch, the importance of Pirvu and the significance of not being involved in Pirvu. So there's a gemara that tells us, interestingly, just showing how great this mitzvah is. The gemara, famous gemara you may have heard of, the whole Maisa, the gemara Brachos Dav Yud, where Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Chizkiah Melech and Yeshayahu Navi to meet with each other, to have a conference, a discussion. And both Chizkiah and Yeshayahu, neither one wanted to go to the other. Chizkiah was a king, Yeshayahu was a Navi. And so Chizkiah says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Yeshayahu to talk to me, let him come to my palace. You know, we found that Eliyahu Navi went to Achav. Achav was a king. And as Eliyahu Navi traveled to the king, so Yeshayahu Navi should travel to me. That's what Chizkiah felt. I'm the king, let him come to me. Yeshayahu said, well, I'm the Navi, and let Chizkiah Melch come to visit me, because we find that Yehoram ben Achav, he went to Elisha, that the king went to Elisha the Navi. So let Chizkiah come to me, said Yeshayahu. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He made a pshara, he made a compromise, he brought Yisurim, he brought a terrible illness to Chizkiah Melch. And he says to Yeshayahu, you have a mitzvah now, Bikur Cholim. The king is sick. You as a Navi, you have to visit him because of Bikur Cholim. And so he went to visit him. And Yeshayahu tells Chizkiah, as Chizkiah is dying there, he says, Ki meis ata, you're dead, v'lo sichai, you're not going to live. I mean, double lashon, meis v'lo sichai is the same thing. So it means you're meis b'olam hazeh, and you're l'o sichai b'olam haba. You're not going to get olam haba either. So Chizkiah Melech was a bit concerned. Why am I deserving such a punishment? So Yeshayahu explains to him, because Mishum Dula asked the Bepiru with you. Because you didn't get married, didn't have children, and because of that was the terrible onus that he had. And he had a whole response back about you can never give up, and it's not true, and fine. But we see from this Gemara the importance of Puruvu. That's the reason why Chizkiah Melech was one of the greatest kings we had of Jewish history, and yet he wasn't Zochet Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba because he wasn't involved in Puru Rivya. So you see the great importance of Pirvu. I don't need to tell you the great importance of Limud HaTorah. There are many, many Gemaras and statements in Chazal telling the greatness of Talmud Torah. Connected Kulam as a very simple one. So we see that Talmud Torah is very, very important, and so too is Pirvu. So we find a few places where the Gemara and the Halacha tells us that these two are actually singled out in a few areas. Talmud Torah and Pirvu are coupled together as the most important mitzvah that we have in all of Torah. So if you take a look at number two, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. If you own a Sefer Torah, you can't sell it. If you own, let's say, a Chumash, you could sell a Chumash to upgrade to a Sefer Torah. But from a Sefer Torah being the highest level of Kedusha, you can't sell that for anything. So the Gemara says, the two exceptions, when you can sell a Sefer Torah, says the Gemara, this is number two. The Megillah Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, Tashma, Dama Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Meir, Ein Mochrin Sefer Torah, Ela Lil Mo Torah, Valisa Ish, and the Gemara explains they get married in order to have children. The two exceptions, the only times you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah is for the purpose of Limud HaTorah and Peruvu. So these are the two most important mitzvahs. The only time that you're allowed to sell Sefer Torah is for the mitzvah Peruvu and Limra Torah. Nothing like these two mitzvahs.
Limud Torah for you, or Limud Torah for your children?
For yourself. Either. For yourself. So then the Gemara says, number three, another example we have where the Gemara puts these two mitzvahs on a pedestal. Number three, the Gemara Avodah Zarah says, Mitame Lilmud Torah Velisa Isha. Kohen is not allowed to become Tame. He's not allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz because in Chutz La'aretz we assume there's a certain tumah that's there. The two exceptions that a Kohen is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael is if he needs to find a wife in Eretz Yisrael, or Chutz La'aretz rather, where he needs to learn because there's a better Rebbe, a better yeshiva for him to go to. Those are the only two times that he's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to be metame himself for Limud Torah Velisa Isha. So we see again that the Gemara, the Halacha, is putting these two mitzvahs in a category in its own right. There's nothing like it. So what comes out when you have a clash between the mitzvahs of Limud Torah and having children? Now having children in Peruvu is not only having children, not only the birth. There's also raising children. We're going to spend another shiur on the mitzvah of raising children. Pashup Shad is the mitzvah of Peruvu is to have a child, to have two children, a boy and a girl. But there's a radak that says Peruvu, the words Peruvu mean, Peru means to have a child, to peros, to have create, and revu means to raise. So Peruvu is continuing to raise children is a continuation of the mitzvah of Peruvu. And there are many, many other sources to the concept of continuing to raise children in the Derech HaTorah. We'll save that for another shiur. So what happens when you have that clash of having to be home on a Sunday morning to help out with a wife, to help out with carpool, to help homework, or to go out to a shiur? Or at night, so when you have an obligation to help with the homework and help study, or you go out to a shiur, you go out to a charusa. This happens so many times. Or forget even children, even work. The responsibility of having to work and make a parnasa to help support the wife and the children. That's also an extension of responsibilities for raising children. How do we deal with such a clash? Which one beats out which? So we're going to learn an interesting Gemara, one that you've probably heard of, but we're going to look in some of the lumdis of understanding how to appreciate this Gemara. Look at number four. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samech Gimel Mevayis tells us that the Amru Lola Ben Azai, the various Tamidei Chachamim said to Ben Azai, there's some people in this world who are Yeshna'a Dorish V'na'a Mekayim. They have beautiful drashas, give beautiful shirim, V'na'a Mekayim, and they fulfill the mitzvahs. They don't contradict themselves. They say what they mean, and they act upon their shirim. They say nice shirim Hilchos Shabbos, and they keep Hilchos Shabbos. That's Yeshna'a Dorish V'na'a Mekayim, and they fulfill it in a beautiful way. There are those, they do the mitzvahs wonderfully, they're not a good darshan. There's some people who can't give a shir well, can't darshan well, but they do the mitzvahs beautifully. That's what we call, but then there's you, you Ben Azza, you're in a category in its own right. You give beautiful drashas, beautiful shirim, but you don't fulfill the mitzvahs. The point of learning is lilmod lasos. So how do you explain yourself that you're not a dorish, that you learn, you know the halachas, and you're not mekayim? How is he not mekayim the mitzvahs? Ben Azai didn't get married. There is one day in the Gemara in Erevin, I think it is, says he did get married, but we assume he didn't get married. How could he get away with this? Ata na dorish veina na mekayim. So Ben Azai kind of throws up his hands. He shrugs his shoulders and says, Amar lehen Ben Azai, uma asa, what am I supposed to do here? Shenafshi chashka b'torah. My nefesh, my soul, has such a cheshek, such a love, a desire for the Torah. Efsheli olam shiskayim al yedei acherim. The world could continue to exist, others could take care of it. So, you know, when a person's osek b'mitzvah, so for someone else, the efshei yedei acherim, so they don't need me. If I'm davening, if I'm learning, let's say, they need a minion, they have nine guys. They ask me to come learn, but there's another guy in the back playing on his cell phone. He's playing, I don't know, Candy Crush. So say, they don't need me, I'm learning. Let that guy, yedei acherim, he could fill the minion. They don't need me. So if I'm osik with Torah and the mitzvah could be performed for someone else, so I'm pater. That's what Ben Azai said. I'm so connected to Limud Torah, I'm amish pater from this mitzvah, efshir ayidei acher. Now that's a fascinating suggestion in terms of the mitzvah Peruvu. Normally we'd have thought Peruvu is a personal obligation. Every single person, what comes out from this Gemara is it's actually a communal obligation, but none of us could say we're exempt. I mean, just like, my vote doesn't count. If the election's coming up in a couple weeks, my vote's meaningless. But if every single person says my vote is meaningless, then no one's going to vote. So we have a communal obligation to partake in voting, so to improve vote. Even though it's not a personal obligation, it's a tzibur, it's a communal one. We can't, because if all of us just, remove ourselves, then the tzibur won't ever exist. It's similar to Kriyas HaTorah, but tzibur, for example. There's a machlokas kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. Do I have a personal obligation to hear kriyas haTorah? Or no, the shul has to have a kriyas haTorah read. So as long as it's done, I can walk out to the bathroom and have my kiddush club. I don't need to come to the kriyas haTorah. So if you assume it's about the tzibur, I don't have to have a obligation to hear. I could go out to the hallway and talk. But what happens if all 50 of us say that same thing? It's not my obligation, it's not yours, it's not yours. Well, you never have the tzibur, it will never exist. So yes, pirvu is a communal obligation, but you can't just walk out because then you're disappointing the tzibur. Rav Asher Weiss, I heard speak about recently on the topic of vaccinations, which is very relevant in the news nowadays. So he understands that he could be sympathetic that a parent may not want to give vaccinations to their children, they might get sick, whatever other crazy things might happen from the vaccinations. Mm-hmm. But if every single person does that, so then the community will have measles and whatever other diseases are going around. So we have community responsibilities, even though personally we may not want to. It might be, there's a certain idea, it would be selfish to take our personal thoughts and ideas and really turn our backs to the community. So although Ben Azai was able to say this and turn his back away because he is a nafshi chashk b'Torah, we can't do this because we can't say efshar de'acherim. The world won't continue to exist that way.
He got away with saying that? He didn't get punished like the king in the previous sugya?
So it doesn't seem like he got punished. It seems he didn't get punished from this. No, we do, on that point, it's a very interesting point, because Nadav Aviu, we know, were killed. And one of the reasons they were killed is because they didn't have children. And they were punished because of that. And there's a connection. The Chassam Sofer talks about Ben Azai connected to Nadav Aviu. In Panemius, there's some level of Gilgulim going on there between the two of them. But on the surface, it seems that Ben Azai was not punished for this. He was a special individual in that way. But that's the importance of understanding communal obligations versus personal obligations. Let's see how the Rambam writes this, number 5, in the beautiful language of the Rambam. Just to bring the halacha to reality, he says, Misha chashka nafsha b'Torah, he says, not only Ben Azai, but if any one of us, Bizman Azeh, have a same cheshek for Torah, Tamid, the Shagaba, we're constantly learning, we don't waste any time, ki Ben Azai, and that level of Ben Azai, v'nidbak bo kol yomav, and we're connected to the Torah all our days, v'lo nasa ish, and don't get married, ein b'yado avon, there is no sin. V'hu shelo yetzer miskaber lav, it's only true if the person doesn't have a strong yitzhara. If he does, then he has to get married, fine. We see the Rambam brings this lahalacha. So this really, although the Gemara does answer why he was allowed to do this, because he said, efshir, the Acharim don't seem to be satisfied with that response. There's a concept in halacha we know, osik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. The classic example the Gemara says, let's say I have an aveda, and I'm busy tending to the aveda. I don't know, I found the chicken, and I'm trying to find the owner of the chicken, so I'm busy feeding the chicken. And then an ani comes to my door to knock on the door. What's halacha?
A patur,
right? What's it called? Rabbi Yosef has his din. If I'm osik in the mitzvah, shavas aveda, I'm pater from giving the ani. Fine. Osik b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. That is true of every single mitzvah with the exception of Talmud Torah. If I were to say osik b'mitzvah by Talmud Torah, not me, but anyone who were to say, I'm busy learning, I don't need to daven. I'm busy learning, I don't need to do this mitzvah. I don't need to go to a chasna, m'sameh chasna mekala. The whole point of learning is lasos. The osik b'mitzvah p'tur does not apply to limud ha-Torah. When you're learning, you're not exempt from other mitzvahs. That's the one time where you must do other mitzvahs. So how do you say that Ben Azai could say, oh, sacred mitzvah, I'm learning Torah, I'm pater from the mitzvah peruvu. How is he able to get away with this? So I'm going to present to you 5 different explanations that we find in the various achron, how he were able to say, oh, sacred mitzvah, pater b'mitzvah, even by limud ha-Torah, by the case of Ben Azai. Anyone have any suggestions before I go through them? The idea is that although normally we say, oh, sig b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah does not apply to limud ha-Torah, meaning you have to stop learning to do another mitzvah. So how come Ben Azai was able to get away with this and he was pater from the mitzvah peruvu? What was unique about this case that we would say he is pater from the mitzvah peruvu?
I guess if someone's an exceptional teacher, there could be exceptions for the community.
I haven't seen that approach, but it could be. He's such a special person, and but Ben Azai doesn't seem to be necessarily the Rebbe. It seems like he was just connected to the Torah, but not necessarily teaching. I'm not sure if that would be an acceptable heter anyways.
And there
but
are
I hear.
5, and we can't think of any, huh?
No suggestions. Okay, so I'll go through them, and maybe as we go through, you could think of some on your own. The Rav Chanan Wasserman writes that it was simply an Indian of Ones Rachmana Patre. He was Ones. he wasn't able to be meisich daito. He couldn't stop learning. He couldn't meisich daito to focus on anything else, to a wife, to a family. He didn't have that ability. He was ones. It was like almost in a different case, if a person would be a shote, let's say. A person's a shote and can't focus on the mitzvah of, I don't know, he's a pater from matzah, he's a pater from tefillin, he was a shote. So there's a concept of ones, rechmana patre. So it says Rav Elchanan, he was so connected to the Torah, his das, his focus, couldn't be on anything else in this world. He's ones. And we know ones exempts from every single mitzvah. A person's never forced to do mitzvah if he's in the state of ones. So it was ones because the lack of das he could have with a wife and children. That's Rav Elchanan Wasserman's understanding of Ben Azar.
How do you define ones then exactly? It's like nature, an ability to focus on anything else?
Onus, in this case, the guy, he just, guy, Ben Azai just didn't have the ability. I'm not sure how to...
So people have certain innate abilities to do one thing or another. Some people can sit and learn, other people cannot sit and learn. Some people say tell them all day, other people can do for 2 seconds. Isn't that just their nature per se?
No, that's right. There's a question of... it's a very good point in terms of what a person's nature is. But I guess his was such an extreme level that he wasn't able to take his das off of Torah. I'm not sure how to draw the line, how to define it. I'm not sure. I guess his eating and drinking, maybe if whatever he did was in order to enhance his learning and it was part of a continuation of learning.
But
still, what do you mean, do the same?
Teach him how to do other things.
Yeah, but he can't. You can't physically live without eating and drinking. That's necessary.
Sleeping.
That would also, you need to sleep also. All those things are able to enable him to enhance his learning.
Right.
So that's the understanding of the Rav Elchanan Wasserman. The B'nai Yisachar takes a very similar approach. It's also about onus, but the onus he had wasn't an onus of his das. The onus was a physical thing, a biological thing. Listen to the language of the B'nai Yisachar. B'nai Yisachar has a sefer Derech Pikudecha on the mitzvahs, and he writes in the very first mitzvah in Peruvu, he says, nearly davka im davak b'Torah ki ben Azav. A person so connected, he clings to the Torah so much, I add, shayidei chukasu b'Torah, his great love for the learning, yefshar lo lahafrid es atma, he cannot separate himself, lechamim es gufo l'koach ha-molid. He couldn't physically have a child. That's what it was. Not because his das, physically he couldn't come to that point of having children and being with a woman. That was a physical onus as opposed to a mental onus. Those are the two approaches of onus brought by the B'nai Yisachar and Rav Elchanan Wasserman.
And he couldn't be with a woman, or he couldn't get away from Torah?
With a woman.
He couldn't be with a woman.
Right. So then the other approach is, that's two approaches. The third approach is brought down by the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan also seems a little extreme. All these explanations are extreme. But he says, Efshir ha'yisah sakanas nefashos emayaporesh minator. Not because he was onus, but even more to the extreme. It would be dangerous for him, like Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva was busy teaching the Gemara in Brachos. And they said, stop teaching Torah because you're going to be in danger. He said, if a water out of fish can't live, I can't exist without my Torah. It was dangerous for me to live without Torah. So that was the extent of Ben Azai, his love for Torah. It would be dangerous for him to separate from Limud HaTorah. That's how connected he was. Not because of onus, because of pikuach nefesh. That is the Aruch HaShulchan. Say again, in danger. That's also true. It's very important. Of course, Limud HaTorah is what really protects the community and protects Am Yisrael throughout. So when there is no learning, it's bringing danger to the community. Very good. That's also a very nice pshat. Rav Yosef Engel has a very novel approach to understanding why Ben Azai was able to remove himself from the mitzvah peruvah. He says, this is found in those who are following one of the Maor Malkum, it's Gilyone HaShas and Yevamos Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. He says, Yesh Lomar Shekayim Belimit Taraso Main Mitzvah Pirivya. He was actually fulfill the mitzvah purvu by learning. Not that he was exempt, he fulfilled the mitzvah a purvu by learning. Now how in the world do you fulfill the mitzvah purvu by learning Torah? So listen to what he says.
He says
Sheneschadshu Aidei Limura Torah, the halacha that a person is mechadish is Kitodos Banim Hayula. When you're Mechadesh HaHalacha, Mechadesh HaDvar Torah, this is Rav Yosef Engel writing this. He was no slouch. He just Engel writes that again, the person who learns his mechadesh things, he creates children. And you're mekayim the mitzvah peruvu. He's not just saying this b'divrei agada. He's saying b'divrei halacha. We're going to, next week I'm not here. I think I have aschalas gemara for my son maybe. But the following week, I want to discuss this topic in particular, unconventional ways of fulfilling the mitzvah peruvu. Not the classic way of having a child, but there are like six other ways which I came across that you could fulfill the mitzvah peruvu outside of the conventional way. One of them is being mechadesh halachas. So we'll focus that in a couple weeks in Mir Tzashem. But this is what he says. Ben Azai fulfilled the mitzvah of peruvu by being mechadesh halachas. And he brings a raya. Listen to the raya he brings. The Gemara tells him brachos that mem zayin amud beis. You have two people. You want to make a zimun. So you need three people for a zimun. So the Gemara has a havamina. Two people on Shabbos could be a zimun. Why? Where's the third person? Me and you are sitting down having a meal. Where's the third person? The Gemara says Shabbos is the third person. Shabbos gavra who? The Shabbos is a person? Shabbos is not a person. It can't be a third person. The Gemara says no. Two tamidi chachamim that mechadidin zed zeb alacha. Two people who are learning and talking, they're mechadin, they're sharpening each other. They're being mechadish halachas, b'toch suda, that makes them mitzarif. That halacha, that chiddush that they made is a third person. It's kishlishi. They just created a person by learning Torah. And therefore we see through this that you're able to come in the mitzvah peruvu by being mechadish halachas. That's what he says based, and there's Tosafot Rashi explanation of that Gemara there. Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. So that's how Ben Azai got away with that peruvu, because he did taka fulfill the mitzvah
how
peruvu.
How Ben Azai going to answer that himself then in the Gemara?
Not sure. Good, that's a good question. I don't know. Good question. None of the answers are. He doesn't answer what anyone. There is difference between what he had said and what he really meant, I guess. So.
Beginning of Parshas Noah says that your good deeds are your children.
No? Good deeds are your Maasim Tovim can be children also. Yes. Right. So then. In a similar way, the Noz Behuda, has a sefer called Avos Tzion. Avos Tzion is a sefer of drushes that he gave. Noz Behuda was not a big fan of Hasidus. We all know that. But people think just because you're not into Hasidus doesn't mean you're into Pnimius. Meaning, they thought people like Noz Behuda don't learn the Zohar or Sfarim like that. So if you learn his Avos Tzion, you see he was very much versed in the world of Pnimius and Kabbalah and the topics he talks about here. So in this one, he talks about Klipos. You think Klipos are like Hasidus and Kabbalah. It might be. But Noda Behuda talks about this Indian of Klipos here as well. So I'm not going to mention what he says here, but he has some fascinating thing about people stealing someone else's Sefer and his Chidushim. But what he writes is that firstly, he says the Gemara talks about that Elul Todos Aaron and Moshe, the Pasuk says. These are the children of Aaron and Moshe. So these were Moshe's children. They were Aaron's children. How come Moshe is being attributed as the father of Aaron's children? So the Gemara says, because Kam Lamed Leben Chavero Torah Mala Lava Kasukil Yaldov. So that's another example of an unconventional birth of a child. But then he says, a person, when he dies from this world, he's Nase Chavshi Min HaMitzvos, he becomes free of mitzvos and he can't fulfill mitzvos anymore. But if he's zocha to having children, so then his legacy continues. He writes also, though, if a person zocha to be mechaber svarim and talmidim, that's also a way of continuing his legacy. So that's what it means in the Pasuk in Bereishis. Zeh sefer toldos adam. Sefer is a toldos adam. A child of a person that told us is a sefer. A person has talmidim. A person writes svarim. That's also a way of continuing his legacy of being Mekayim the Mitzvah Peruvu. And that's how he explains Ben Azai, he had Talmidim. I'm not sure if he had Sfarim, but he had Talmidim. And that's how he did fulfill the Mitzvah Peruvu. So we have either he was exempt because of Ones, or Pikuach Nefesh, or he fulfilled it through raising Mechadish Halachas, or writing Sfarim, or Talmidim. So now bring it back to Halach Lamaisa. The Shulchan Aruch brings this Halach Lamaisa. This is Simon and Shulchan Aruch. Sif Dalet. In the first Simon Aleph Sif Dalet, he writes, Mechaber says, "Mi shechashka b'Torah kiven azai tamid v'nidbak b'koyama." He's so connected to the Torah, he's so engrossed. V'lo nasa isha ein biyada avon. He has no sin. He's allowed to stay unmarried and not to have children. So, do we practice this halacha l'maisa? Taz says lichachidu. We don't do this. People are not like that. People are not that level anymore. Tosa says no one in the generation has that koach of ben azai anymore. So l'maisa, we don't pass in this way. But there's a certain idea we could at least extract from this concept of how important Torah is, that it overrides the mitzvah peruvu and perhaps other family obligations. I want to share with you a beautiful Chassam Sofer in the Drashos. Chassam Sofer says that we know the Torah begins with Bereishis, the letter Beis, and the last letter is
Lamed.
Beis and Lamed. So what's the significance? Says the Chassam Sofer that the Beis represents a bias. That person first needs to build a bias, build a house, Beis Ozo Ishto, refers to getting married, having responsibility of a house. And after you have that responsibility of building a house and getting married, having children, then achar kach yilmad lamed, the lamed is the limud. Beis is first, bais is first, and lamed limud is afterwards. Unless a person is like Ben Azai, so everything's around. First is limud, lamed comes before the bais, before the beis.
That's the late
Chashka Liba. Exactly, very good. Yeah, he didn't say that, but very good. Chashka Liba, excellent, very good. So halach lamaisa, what does it mean when you have this conflict between limud haTorah and getting married? So there's a Gemara that you probably saw this Gemara as well. It's a well-known Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chav Tesamid Beis. If you look inside number 6, the Gemara tells us Lilmo Torah Velisa Isha. You have the option. You're at a certain age. You're 18. You have either the option of getting married or Limud Torah. Which should you do first? Yilmo Torah V'achar Kach Yisa Isha. You should first learn, and then when you're ready to get married, Vim Iav Shar Lo Belisha. If you can't function without a wife, but whether it's because of Yetzer Hara or because you're just functioning in your house and getting food, so then you could Yisa Isha v'char kach Yimul Torah. Then you should get married first and then learn. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel Halacha, Nosa Isha v'char kach Yimul Torah. First get married and then learn. Rav Yochan says, Rechayim b'tzavara of Yasek b'Torah. He has I don't know, weights around his neck. And he's going to learn. He has a responsibility of a wife and kids. How in the world is he going to learn? He needs to make a parnasa. He can't do that. So there's a machlokus, which is more important, which comes first, learning or marriage? And the Gemara has a confusing answer. One's us in Babel, one's them in Eretz Yisrael. So which is which? So the machlokus Rashi tells us. So you don't have it in front of you Rashi, but listen to what Rashi says. Rashi says, in Babel, where they would leave their homes of Babel to go learn in Eretz Yisrael, so since they learned outside, they had no responsibilities of the house, so they could get married first, get married, have a child, leave them behind, then go learn. That's what the Rashi says here. Again, mitoch shelom demchutzim komam, since they would leave Babel, ein sarche bais mutalam alem, they have no responsibilities anymore. They could be no se'isha, and then go learn. But in Eretz Yisrael, where they lived and learned in the same place, so it's very dangerous to work locally. You know, get called home to help out with the kids, go shopping. So when you live local, so then the responsibility of the house falls upon you and it's getting in the way of their learning. So that's what we said, first learn. And after you learn, then you should work. Rabbeinu Tam says, what do you mean? How is a person able to get married and then leave his wife and kids and just ignore them? It doesn't make any sense. So he's a whole other shot there. So Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about this very point. What's more important, the family responsibilities or learning?
None of these gemaras actually say peruvu.
I think it's a great point. I think it's a very good point. Each one says Lisa Isha. Now, in the world of Shulchan Aruch, from you remember last week or 2 weeks ago, Lisa Isha for Shulchan Aruch meant peruvu, because he didn't have a concept of Tveikas, didn't exist. It meant peruvu. For the Ramah, Lisa Isha might simply be getting married without having children. I think you're 100% right. And I think it's a great idea. From all those Gemaras, it always says Lisa Isha, does not say Peruvah. Okay, so Lamaisa, it's not an easy answer. It's not easy at all. What to do? We all have responsibilities. I'm not telling anyone here to come to the base magistrate and ignore the family. I'm also not telling anyone to always be in the house and never come to learn. There's obviously a balance that has to be worked out. And I would say push as much as you can. Remember my first year when I got married, Shana Rishona. So a lot of friends would learn in the apartment in the Shana Rishona. They learn, right? Which meant they play Monopoly or Scrabble and who knows what they would do. My Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig told me, no, you should learn the base medrash. You should set the tone now to leave the base medrash. You're not ignoring them. Going out 2 hours a night is not a terrible thing. What are you going to talk about for 2 hours every night? I don't know. After like 3 months of dating your wife, what do you talk about? it's hard. At a certain point, what can you talk about? This past Shabbos, my in-laws had all the grandchildren at their house. It was a big Shabbaton. So it's just me, my wife, and my baby. She doesn't talk. She's 6 months. So we got very nervous. What are we going to talk about over Shabbos? Like, no kids, you know. We figured it out. We played a little Scrabble and stuff. But to spend every night at home, at a night seder, that's, what are you going to accomplish that way? In anything, you'll create more fighting. So there should be, of course, a healthy balance of being home and helping out and learning. So let's learn through his Maharal, number 7, Nesivas Olam. It's based on the Gemara I mentioned a couple weeks ago. He quotes the Gemara the first three lines here. And again, this is very, very extreme, what I'm about to read through. And it's just extreme because I'm not expecting anyone to do what the Maharal is saying here. None of us are like this. But just showing you how far you should push the envelope without getting into any fights, similar to what many people say about being a Rav of a Shul, that you should always push the envelope to the point where people are not very happy with you, but you don't want to get kicked out of the shul. Oh, push a little bit. So you don't want to get kicked out of the house, chas v'shalom. You want to push a little bit to get as much learning as you can with also being responsible.
Did you say that? There's more than 50%.
I'm not sure the difference. But whatever it is, you want to push the limit as much as you can. We're still keeping your job. We're still keeping your spouse. Keeping the family together. Push it. So again, be very, very smart in how to implement this. But the idea is where we really have to push ourselves to learn. And no women are here, so we could be extreme as well, right? And I wouldn't say bring this Maharal home and teach it with your wife. I once tried something like this with my parents. There's a Gemara in Beta that talks about all the money that you make for the year. Mm-hmm. So part of that calculation, we know where Kadosh Baruch Hu decides you're getting X amount of dollars for the year. Let's say $1 million for the year. So all that money that you use, any money used for Shabbos meals, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, is not part of the calculation. Where also said any money used for supporting your children learning also doesn't, it's not part of the calculation. I once tried that with my parents. It didn't go over. That wasn't terrible. They just kind of laughed. They didn't get upset at me. But it didn't really work out. But I'm still learning here. So Baruch Hashem. Okay. So again, be smart how you invoke this Maharal. Number 7. Let's learn this together. Maharal says, he quotes in the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Chaf Alf on the Beis, Shecharos Ka'orev. Gemara is talking about how a Talmud Chacham should be dark, black, like an orev, like a raven. B'miata motze sidrei Torah. Who are you going to find the order that Torah is very organized and orderly? B'misha mashkim u'mariv aleim b'beis ha-medrash. The person who wakes up early and stays late at night in the beis ha-medrash. He's the person who's going to know Torah well. Rabba Amar. B'misha mashkir panav aleim ka'orev. A person who darkens his face like a raven. And Rabba Amar. B'misha meisim atzmo al-banav achzari. Person who makes himself cruel towards his children and ignores them, kamo orev, like the orev, like the raven, didn't care much for the children. The raven was very dedicated to its wife, to its spouse, but didn't care much about the children. So you have to wake up early, stay late at night, darken your face, which means people who don't eat, people who are homeless, who have no food, their face gets dark, it turns colors. And thirdly, a person has to be cruel to the children. Gemara says further, ki hod rav ad bar masna havi ka'azil bei rav. When Rav Ad would go to the Beis Medrash, he's about to walk out of the house. Amar Lei Devesa, his wife says to him, Yunuki Mayavde, what are your children going to do? There's no food on the table. How can you go out and learn? Make a parnasa. Amar La, Ika, Karma, Ba'agma, there's some food in the swamp. Let them go fetch some food for themselves. Adkan, that's the Gemara. Okay, so pretty extreme. I'm not suggesting anyone tell their kids to go pick the berries in their garden. But this is the idea of how a person becomes a Talmud Chacham. So look at the Maharal comments on this. Rotzi Lomar. Kitzarach sheyeh adam davik b'Torah legamrei. Person should be so connected to the Torah, ad shlo yifrad meito, that he doesn't separate it from it at all. Vim lo kein, if that were not to be the case, if he's not connected, ein zocha adam el haTorah. He's not going to merit to learn Torah or understand it as well as he should. Kitzarach sheyisached im hasichli. Torah has to be one with one's mind. So you have to be completely dedicated to the Torah. Ve'od. To be constantly working and toiling, tremendous hasmada, constant. Torah is not like a secular subject. We've been talking about Thursday nights about learning Greek and secular subjects. It's not a secular subject, chas v'shalom. You go to a class for 45 minutes here, 45 minutes there. Gemara is not a class. Not to say anything bad about the high school I went to, but we went to a different type of high school. So Gemara was just a class then. You know, you go to yeshiva, there's a whole seder. a whole 3 hours, 4 hours in morning Seder. It's not just a class. It's not just a 45-minute class of Gemara. Gemara is a whole other world, of course. Torah is a whole other world. Mm-hmm. A person treats Torah as another, you know, 45 minutes here, just another Dvar Zmani. Learn here, just Kovei Itim is very important. There's no question about that. But if it's just Kovei Itim, it's just only the time you set aside, and nothing more than that, that's just being, it's a subject. What it means for Limud HaTorah is, it's more than just that Kovei Itim. It's when you have free time. It's on the train. It's extra time. It's going above the Zman. That's what Torah means. That's what it means for Limud HaTorah. Ulefi HaZman Eino Kovei HaTorah. If you're just going to learn your Kovei Itim only, then you're not going to acquire Limud HaTorah. That's important, Kovei Itim, but it's more than just being Kovei Itim. V'lechach, therefore, tzarech sheyashkim v'yarv aleim. You have to wake up early in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, wake up. Stay up 12 o'clock at night. Some people are morning people, some people are night people, some people are both. But you have to do something that's really break your habits. Turn that alarm clock. Try doing this. Try setting your alarm clock 10 minutes earlier than you normally wake up. Try it for a week. And try it for 2 weeks. And then try 10 minutes earlier for the next 2 weeks. You're going to be amazed. You're able to get another hour of learning in. You slowly wean off the sleep 10 minutes at a time. You'll be amazed how you can be mashkim and perhaps mariv as well. Kiyuzehu inyan haseichel she'eino tachas hazman. The learning is an intellect that's not part of hazman. It's not bound to time. Hu tmidi below zman. There's no time for it. It's no set time for it. Kemo shepirashti lifnim. Ularaba. Lo timsa Torah ela b'misha mashker atzmo. Only to a person who darkens himself. What does that mean? Dainu sheyitin atzmo el ha'eder, which means the absence of things, of gashmias, al divrei Torah. Kemo shemarnu lufnei zeh, al ha'mashker pana b'Torah, a person who darkens his face through learning. Vimlo yisalek es gufo b'shvil ha'Torah, eino kone Torah ha'sichlis. If a person is busy going out to eat all the time in fancy restaurants, it's not going to get to the limud ha'Torah where he should. The body, the gashmi, will prevent the intellect from getting to that level. The last point, which is our focus here, the only way you are able to really miskayim Torah is through being achzari, being cruel to your children. Now, of course, it doesn't mean abuse, chas v'shalom. What it means is, we all have that innate love towards our children. The kasher nase achzari abana, when we become cruel, doesn't mean cruel again. Ashenavshav v'daytuk shur b'hem means when you're going out to nice hater and your son says, "Come, daddy, I'm going to miss you." Doesn't mean you like ignore him. You say, "I love you so much, but I need to go out to learn." We all want to stay home with our kids and spend time with them, but sometimes you have to be a little bit cruel in that way of going out to learn. Umorezeshu sichli legamri. That shows the intellect. Kasher hadas hu sichli v'hu doches hadas shel adam. Because the das shel adam, the natural love, is towards a child. You want to show you love the intellect of Torah much more, so you're choosing Torah over your children. Mipnei Torah, she seichel nivdal lagamri. It's a whole other world, limud HaTorah. Vavein elu shlosh hadvarim. Understand these three items. Ha'echad, shemashkim emarev al divrei Torah, shedavik lagamri b'sichli. To wake up early, I'm telling you guys, try waking up 10 minutes earlier than you normally do. You'll be amazed how much you can wean off your sleep. Hasheni, shumashkir panav al divrei Torah ubazeh shenosin gufo el ha'eder legamri, to remove yourselves from eating, overindulging, al divrei Torah, and focus on learning. Ubazeh nasis sichli, this way you'll make the Torah intellectual without having any klipas involved. And shlishi, the third is shenasa achzori abanav, to be cruel to your children. Again, not the way you would think. Heim toldo shelo, even though they're your children. V'chol asher hu la'adam hu mevatel b'shvil ha'Torah, you mevatel everything for limud ha'Torah hasichli shi al. Hakol uba'adam kemozeh timsa ha'Torah. This way you'll find Torah. V'ef shar l'far show, so you can't explain further. Ki advar amukim me'od masheramzu kan. So Mirtz Hashem, this should be some inspiration for all of us in Chizuk to continue to come Sunday mornings and nights and spend time learning, because Torah is above Zaman. Have a wonderful day.
Yes, Rabbi.